down was to go over here on the limb side. It has a hatch arrangement over here also. There's a relief valve in the top of the limb hatch. And all we had to do is get a delta P across here, and it would vent out this way. So we went to the limb forward hatch, which leads out to the limb front porch, and opened that. There's a vent valve in that hatch also. So we opened that valve, let the air flow through here, and got the pressure in the limb down to 3.5 PSI, and then sealed off the forward hatch valve. This put 3.5 PSI in here, and we had about 5 over in the command module. So we had a 1.5 PSI delta P across the hatch, and we could then check this hatch integrity. And we let it sit there for a few minutes, a few seconds. I guess it was about 2 minutes, really. Maintained the pressure delta, so we were satisfied the CSM hatch was good. Then we pumped the limb back up to 5 PSI and had the command module maintain the position here so that we kept 3.5 PSI here, 5 PSI here. Then the command module read his delta P here after 2 minutes, and he still had this same value, which meant that none of the limb pressure had leaked back into the tunnel. So therefore, we were able to determine that the limb hatch was okay. It was sealed satisfactorily. And we essentially got everything that we wanted to do out of that tunnel depressurization without taking it all the way down to zero.
What is it about reducing the pressure in the tunnel that helps you keep a better lock for these RCS tests? I mean, it's still a mechanical lock, isn't it?
Well, yeah. To undock, you know, you get the probe back in and get the capture latches and all that hooked up with the drogue. You have to release the docking latches to get the two to undock, and that has been done. So the only thing holding the spacecraft together is the probe and the capture latches. Okay, now, with a positive pressure in here, the load on the probe springs is set up assuming that this pressure is down to zero, and we didn't get it down there, so it's not as not held together as rigidly as it should.
The question is, was there any concern at all, or in fact, when they finally did separate or release the latches, does the escaping of the 3.5 pounds of pressure PSI in the tunnel, does that have any propulsive effect towards pushing the spacecraft apart?
Yeah, that would have a slight propulsive effect, but that it was no concern.
5 PSI, is it of no concern?
No concern there.
Well, there was a further problem, as we understood it, of some twisting or torquing of the command module and a yawing of the
right
limb. Could you explain that?
Yeah, that was part of the same problem, in that this did not get down to zero, but maintained 3.5 PSI. Our bond was not as tight as it should be. And we have a constraint that we will not fire roll jets in that situation. And we did not get that point across to the crew that because this tunnel hadn't gone down to what it should have, that they had to get those roll jets disabled. So we had some roll jet firings, which caused a slippage here in that the two spacecraft actually rotated about 3.5 degrees.
Was this another problem, the rotation of the spacecraft?
No, that in itself is no problem. If it had rotated too far, it would have damaged the probe.
Yes.
But it has to go a long way to do that.
But that was simply a secondary effect of the maneuvering to what? To reduce the pressure in the tunnel?
Now, the maneuvering, they were firing the roll jets just maintaining attitude control. It was not actually maneuvering to some other attitude.
Oh, I see.
And it made it a little more difficult to do the docked platform alignments, but however, we got through that without any problem. It caused The 3.5 degrees roll there caused a bias to come in the dock platform alignment, which we recognized and took that out.
We were under the impression that the bias was the primary problem and that this was not. But now, as you explain it, the initial difficulty of venting was the primary problem.
Yes, I'm sure that that led directly to this 3.5 degree situation.
Now, can we go back a ways and look at the origin of that problem? That is the clogging of the line by this insulation material. We understand that this came unglued sometime during the flight so that the material escaped from the silver mylar covering. Was that a result of any particular stresses during the flight?
No. As far as I know, it was not. It occurred during the initial limb docking, when we were docking with the limb while it was on the S4B. And I personally don't understand the mechanism that caused that stuff to separate from the hatch. I suspect that it was something like this mylar insulation is along here. I believe it's on this side of that hatch, and that there's some pressure or air gas of some sort trapped under there. And when the tunnel was relieved in that original docking, that some of that pressure differential popped that mylar off of there. But I don't know that that's what happened.
This is Apollo Control at 101 hours, 51 minutes. Phil Schaffer, the flight dynamics officer, has completed evaluating all of his data, telemetry, radar tracking, and he has come up with a number for the Paracynthian, 8.2 nautical miles above the landing site radius. Paracynthian was 8.2 nautical miles above the landing site radius. This is Mission Control, Houston.
There were repeated reports by the crew of a sort of wobbling effect.
Of what?
A wobbling effect, or a, how did they call it, shuddering effect. And presumably this was a result of some of sloshing in the ascent stage tanks. This was what we have been told. The shuddering effect took place whenever there was any motion within the vehicle and when the thrusters fired. Could that have had any relationship to this problem?
No, I don't see how it could at all.
Sanders Lamont.
Get bigger.
Just clarification. Who is saying that, are y'all concluding that there's a little mylar that clogged a vent and that's the reason it wouldn't vent? Or is that, I want to find out if NASA's saying that or if it's us.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that's what's happened. That's my speculation that that's what it is.
Any other questions?
If we can go to just a few minutes ago when they had this difficulty with the transponder and not getting a radar signal from the lunar module. This was the rendezvous radar we were talking about here, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, do you have any idea, can you explain to me why flicking a switch would make the difference between this thing working and not working? When presumably the switch was on before and it has been tested many times and it works.
Well, if you presume the switch was on before, I don't know what would make it work just by cycling it, unless there was some loose connection in there that when you cycled it made it work.
In other words, you're saying it's possible that even though John Young was asked several times and each time responded, yes, that switch is on, perhaps
well,
it still wasn't?
He wasn't asked several times, as I recall.
Twice that I heard. Once from the ground and once from Snoopy.
Okay, that could be that he was asked twice. I really don't remember.
Yeah.
Remember the one we did ask him to check it, and when he cycled it, it worked. I don't believe Snoopy asked him because they seemed surprised at that. I remember some comment they made, gee, that was a good idea you had to cycle that switch.
Recycling, yeah.
Yeah, why don't we take a couple of more questions if we've got them? Pete wants to get back to the control center for acquisition of signal.
I wonder if you could just repeat what you said when I came in late about the turning through 3 degrees, was it, caused by the thrusters getting fired or something?
Okay, we did not have as tight a bond, that the spacecraft were not held together as tightly as normal because we did not have the tunnel vented down to zero pressure. And therefore, it did not take much of a torque to get some roll or slippage between the two spacecraft. And that's what we got, about 3 degrees of that, 3.5.
Let's take the two front side here. And
Do you know why this spacecraft still had the Mylar blanket on it? There's no reason for it anymore.
Apparently, it's been taken off of subsequent spacecraft. I don't know why it was left on this one.
It was only on the first one because they didn't have any docking probe on there. And subsequent spacecraft had docking probes. There wasn't any need for it any further. It was just a protective device to act as a heat shield, so to speak.
Yeah. I really can't answer why it's on there.
Just to make sure we got the loose ends tied up here, you had the problem with the venting, which led to the bias problem, which you've explained. You had the transponder thing, which you've explained. You had a COMO problem that was brief. Would you touch on that one and tell us if you had anything else that we might have missed in the air to ground?
I didn't understand the last part there.
You had a COMO problem when they first came around undocked and they couldn't hear we couldn't hear one of the craft.
Oh, okay. We had the ground problem where we could not read one of the spacecraft on the ground. Yeah. No, all I know is that there was a problem between the ground station and the control center here. We were getting data, but the voice was not getting through, and we finally, we did get word from the site that they were getting the voice down, but they were not, it was getting lost somewhere between there and here. I don't know what they did to solve that. All I know is that we got it back.
Was there anything else that had you concerned, worried, or otherwise exercised?
If it was, it was secondary compared to those things.
What was the big problem?
Well, the tunnel interface was a major concern.
Okay, let's take Dick Lewis and Rhett and then close her off if we could.
When they redock, has that line been cleared now of the...
I'm sorry, I didn't
understand. The line that was stopped up, has that been cleared? What about when they redock?
Well, I don't know that it's been cleared. We feel like, if that's what was the problem, that some insulation was in there, that it will clear itself, that we can blow air through the other way and clear it out. If it does not, that's no problem. We have a procedure that they were writing down when I left on exactly how to go back through this, reestablishing the hatch and the tunnel interface there. And nobody's really concerned about it.
Yeah. Just one more thing. When the instruction was given to the crew not to undock, did that refer to if the torque or the bias went to 6 degrees?
Yes. If the spacecraft twisted more than 6 degrees, we wanted to hold off and look at it some more. Yes.
Pete, forgive me if you've covered part of this. I'm sorry I missed a little part of your briefing there. On the transponder AGC, and just recycling the power, that's just flipping it off and on again, that's not exactly a reliable method of being sure that transponder is going to be there from now on, is it? Once it begins operating, do you have full confidence? What's the rules on it?
Well, I would say that you would feel a little shaky about something that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. Just because it's working now, you might be a little more concerned than you would otherwise.
That's a real go-no-go situation, though.
That's right. But it's... I guess what we feel like is that the switch was not in the on position.
But they had the full AGC voltage after they got it.
Well,
it
turned out that the system test meter was if it were off by one slot, the three numbers he read out the first time would have been the fuel cell pressures.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pass over the lunar surface, this time on the order of 11 nautical miles. And we'll perform staging, jettisoning the descent stage, and then 10 minutes after staging, the insertion maneuver. This maneuver designed, it's a retrograde maneuver, and it's designed to bring down the high apocynthian that we achieved with the phasing maneuver. This apocynthian was necessary to put the lunar module behind Charlie Brown, and now we want to bring that down from about 190 miles to on the order of 45 miles, put it in an orbit, the same orbit that's planned for the lunar landing insertion orbit. And with that maneuver, Snoopy will start catching up to Charlie Brown.
Houston, over.
Roger. I'm looking at 316.45 miles on the radar right now.
Roger, we copy. We'd like you to go to Poo and accept.
This thing is working.
Roger, we'd like you to go to Poo and accept. We have a state vector for you. And a change on your backup insertion pad if you're ready to copy. Over.
Go ahead, over.
Okay, Delta VX and noun 81.
Go ahead, over.
Roger, Delta VX and noun 81 changes to plus 01720. Over.
Roger, Delta VX plus 01270.
Roger. And that's negative.
I just barely read you there, Snoop.
Charlie Brown, that was a bad read back on the
Delta
V. Say
again, over. Say it again there, Charlie.
Roger, John, it's plus 01720, over.
Plus 01720.
That's affirmed. Charlie Brown, Houston, I cut you out at the beginning of the pass. Say again, what were you going to say, over?
Nothing important. I'm about to lose. I just lost range and went to 320.50 miles. And I'm no longer in voice contact with Snoopy. I think we're just flat out of range.
Roger, we copy.
I can hear him very faintly in the background.
Roger. Charlie Brown, Houston, it's your computer. We're through with the load. Over.
Roger. Thank you.
Charlie Brown, Snoopy.
I'm just about to lose you there.
John, do you read us?
Just barely, you guys. Did you stage?
This is...
Hey, go ahead, Derek. Go ahead, there, babe.
Hello. Hello, Charlie Brown, Mississippi. Do you read?
Roger. Read you loud and clear now, or weak but clear. I read you guys.
Hello, Houston. How do you read Snoopy?
Roger, Snoopy. Reading you 5-by. Over.
Roger, would you ask Charlie Brown if he's still in track attitude? I can't get any lock on at this distance out here. Over.
Roger, he broke lock at 320 miles on a VHF. Stand by. We'll ask him on his attitude. Charlie Brown, Houston, are you still in tracking attitude for
Roger.
The... Charlie Brown, Houston. Are
I'm
you
at still... attitude 180, which is where I'm standing.
Roger.
Supposed to be right now.
Roger, Charlie Brown, we copy. Snoop, Houston, he is in attitude as called for out in the flight plan, a 180 pitch. We got your ascent looks good and your ascent batteries look good. Over.
Roger, we have just pressurized the ascent tanks, and they look good.
And Roger, if you'll give us your computer, we need poo and data. We have a state vector for you.
You've got it.
Copy, Snoop. Out. Hello, Charlie Brown. This is Houston.
Is there some attitude?
Charlie Brown, this is Houston. We show you loaded TIG incorrectly in P30. TIG is 102-55-0140. Over. Correction. Correction.
Maybe 102.
Charlie Brown, that was my fault. TIG time is 102-58-0100. Over.
Roger, 0100.
A firm, out.
That's the ignition time if Charlie Brown has to perform the maneuver in case Snoopy can't.
Okay, how does that look to you?
Looks real fine, Charlie Brown. Snoop, Houston, we got the load in. The computer's yours. Over.
Roger. Houston, thank you very much. And Houston, this is Snoopy. We've got about 14 minutes to staging. I'm going to go ahead and maneuver to staging attitude.
Roger, Snoop. We copy. Could you comment on your cameras? We might be able to help you out on those. Over.
Roger, on the half of the flight, it looks like both batteries have gone dead. Over.
Copy. Both batteries dead on the house of blood. How about the sequence?
Okay, on a sequence, I got two film packs that you have to practically jam, wire, and step on to get them to make electrical contact so the camera will run. I've got one of them to run, and I'll try and get the other one to run.
We copy. Thanks a bunch. We'll work on it for you. Out.
Yeah, it's just hard to do that, though, when you're coming across a landing site and you expect it to work.
Roger, Gene. We copy.
And Snoopy's going to be maneuvered at this time.
Roger.
Gibbons on forward, please.
We're 11 minutes away from staging and 21 minutes away from ignition for the insertion burn.
Yeah, I got all the air.
Hey, you guys wouldn't be about 450 miles out, would you?
On a line and on a descent off. Okay.
Charlie Baron, Snoopy, over.
Okay, you ready? Suit gas diverter valve, full egress. Hammond repress valve closed. Okay, I'm ready for... Golly! Okay, descent O2, closed. Hey, FN O2, number one, open. Okay, regs, A and B to egress. Okay, water tank select ascent. Okay, I'll check the ascent batteries. Oh, I'm on a dead face, Tom. We are dead faced. Okay, on your side, AC bus A, DECA gimbal open. Flight display, thrust open. Propulsion, DSM helium, reg vat open. Heater landing radar open. Stab control, DECA power open. Things, landing radar open. Okay, let's take another look at those app temperatures and pressures. They look all right to me.
Snoop, Houston, the app looks good to us. Over.
Okay.
Roger.
Roger, Houston. We're about 4 minutes and 23 seconds from staging. Okay, Tom, and get out of here. The clock's set.
Snoop, Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, we copy 8 minutes to staging, over.
Roger, it's 8 minutes marked. Now 7:59:58.
That's the firm. We're with you. That was my mistake. It's 4 minutes to our 14-minute check. We're 8 minutes to staging. 7:50.
Copy out.
Just like to think ahead. Okay, Tom, staging attitude should be,
Houston, this is Charlie Brown. You'll have to keep me posted on what Snoopy's doing. I can't read it anymore.
About 270 upside down.
Roger, Charlie Brown. Snoop's going through his staging checklist. He's got 7 minutes to go for staging.
Tom, if you get a chance, reset my orb rate ball. Will you come down? Axe agrees with the pings on that one. 39. I'm way off now. I'm about 290. Okay. Okay, there's 270. Coming up about 240, a little more. That's good. Right there. Stop it. Okay. Okay, 15:34, Tom. At 14 minutes, you get the master arm on, and we'll leave it on, remember, right on through the insertion burn. And I'll set the DAP. Matter of fact, if you stay in ag, I'll go ahead and set it now. Okay. Turn X, I'll set to DAP.
Snoop, Houston, we have you go for staging, over.
Roger.
Roger, do you have an update on the LEM weight?
Roger, Snoop. Your LEM weight is 8290. Over.
Roger, got 8290. Thank you. Hey, Tom, that's good enough for CSM weight. So, that's it, babe.
Charlie Brown, Houston, we out at you on the high gain now. Snoop's 3 minutes from staging, over.
Roger.
Okay, babe. Run through it right up to staging. We've gone through. You want to double check these? Yep. Hammond gas diverter valve full egress. Yep. Hammond repress closed. Houston 02 closed. Yep. Asset number 102 open. Yep. Pressure regs both egress. Yep. Water tank asset. Yep. Asset water open. I open that, and decent water's closed. I close that. I checked the voltages. We're dead-faced. We're on SN batteries, and the voltage looks good here. You got your breakers pulled on that side.